just how important is preaching. Jonah, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So God was going to tell Jonah what to preach. Simple as that. In Ecclesiastes, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words and that which was written upright, even words of truth. So in that case, the preacher had to put together something that was right, and it was going to be enough to acceptable words, and so they would hear it. So do we have people today, preachers today, trying to come up with some kind of sermons or teachings, if even that anymore, that would be acceptable to the crowd so we can have favor with all the people? And that's preaching. Is that what preaching is? If we go to Isaiah, he said, look at Isaiah. We'll give you some looks to hear. Look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah was told to preach. This is to show you that I'm not against preaching. And preaching is very important. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to anoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So that's what he's taught to preach. Noah was called a what? Anybody know? He was a preacher of what? Preacher of righteousness. That's in Peter. So that's Old Testament preaching. And there's far more examples than that. There's a preaching all the time. Moses, I bet you, did a few sermons, don't you suppose? So yeah, there's preaching. And God would have to tell him what to preach. Now, Gospels, which is still Old Testament because Jesus hadn't died yet, and that's when the testator begins in the New Testament. Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Preaching is very important. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Luke says that he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. So if we were to study what it was preached, I think I've already done that, but we've all forgotten, including myself, there's things that are preached. But this is just about preaching. In Acts, it says, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. So we know that the preaching in the Gospels was to the people of Israel. If we look at Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 9, we see references to the fact that he preached the gospel of the kingdom. That's what it was called, the gospel of the kingdom. If we look at Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 1, we will see that he mentions that he preached the kingdom of God. But we also see in Matthew chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 4 that he preached the kingdom of heaven. How can that be? Well, that's not hard. It's another sermon. It's the way things would have been if they'd accepted him as their Messiah. And look at Luke chapter 9. Turn to Luke chapter 9. He would say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then Luke chapter 9, verse 6. And it says there, these are the apostles, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Well, it certainly couldn't have been Paul's gospel they were preaching. So the issue is not what the gospel is. It'd have to be what Jesus was telling them to do at the time. And we're okay with that. But I just want you to recognize the fact that there's preaching. there was preaching, and God would tell these people what to preach. Now, look at Matthew chapter 6 and Mark 16, if you want, or Acts chapter 5. What we see here is we see what was going on during the Great Commission. New Testament, but it's still Jesus telling his apostles what to go out and teach. And either Matthew 6, which really isn't the Great Commission, I got that in the wrong spot, but they still did the same thing in Acts, talks about they went out and preached that men should repent. Mark 16, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs. So they did. They went out and they preached. And they preached and they preached. They suffered persecution for it, but they preached. And when they preached, they were followed up with signs. So is that what we need today with our preaching? Do we want to see some results of the preaching? Well, sure we do. Nothing would thrill me more than to have people come back and say, you know what, I want to hear more of this preaching. I don't want to hear you, I want to hear the preaching. That's fine with me. I'd like to think they want to come back and be with the family again, but that seems to be not an issue because everybody keeps them in the family. But when they leave, they leave. But I would think that they would want preaching. And when somebody goes to do it within their home, there has to still be preaching. Doesn't it have to still be preaching? Is preaching that important that there still has to be preaching? Does any wife say to your husband, you know what, you're preaching again. Wish you wouldn't preach so much. I was told at the public school back in South Dakota, Mrs. B would always say, now Mike, you're preaching to the kids and you can't do that. I wasn't preaching Bible, I was just preaching. Or Milt would have me come into the middle school office and say, now what are you preaching to them today? How does hellfire and brimstone fit into your music class? And I said, Milt, I'm teaching the Messiah. You can't teach the Messiah. Milt, this is the school district's materials. Oh, well then I guess you can preach the Messiah. But can you back off on your preaching? I'm not preaching. I'm just showing the verses that they sing in the Messiah. And they're on the film script and the whole. People get tired of preaching. I know now that when people ask me a question or they want to talk about something, chances are I'm going to start preaching, I guess, because I really want them to see what the Bible says about something. So people don't want to ask me questions anymore, I guess, because I'm going to preach to them. Never thought I'd be that way. Or I won't say anything anymore because I just get in trouble by saying stuff anyway. So preaching was a big deal. It says in Acts chapter 5, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The word I want you to recognize is daily. You've heard me say, I so wish we could get together daily. And I see the scriptures. And if we could just get together, I promise less than an hour sermon every day instead of the 3 hours on Sunday. I'll do that. Now I realize that's wrong. Well, we could get together, right? It wouldn't be wrong that we did that, but for me to stand up here and say, this is what God would have us do based on this verse, that's not true. Really. You don't think God would want us to get... He'd let us. He'd be fine with it because He'd teach us things. Acts chapter 8, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Acts chapter 11, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phenis, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So they preached. They preached. Acts chapter 8 again, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And it says in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized both men and women. There's preaching that goes on. There is preaching throughout this Bible. Acts chapter 10, talks about Peter. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, parentheses, He is the Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. There was preaching. And they preached Jesus. Here even says Jesus Christ, because this is Acts chapter 10, He's risen. If you want to say that one, I guess. Even Peter talks about it. Jesus preached unto the spirits in prison. Boy, can you get tired of preaching? There's preaching everywhere. So, those are just a few of the references in the Old Testament and in the Gospels and in the Great Commission. Preach. What about Paul? He's a man we're supposed to follow. So, we need preaching. Right? Acts 15. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Now, if I was going to do this right, I would have printed all these off and given you a copy, because I need you to see this column and then compare it to this column. And I hope you're open to this morning. But I'm going to try to do it, and then we're going to go back, and I'm going to show you how it fits with this Bible. Acts chapter 20, verse 9. Long sermon. And there sat in a window. Be glad you have to sit in a window here. A certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. That was a long sermon there, Paul. Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Preaching is very, very important. And we're seeing in Paul's epistles now just how important it was. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's Paul's, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that is according to Paul's teachings, because that's who reveals that mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. That's the part I want you to get. There's preaching. And it's Paul's gospel, and it's Paul's gospel according to the risen Christ, not the Jesus of the Gospels. But there was preaching. That's what was preached. That still should be preached today? Well, sure it should. We'll get to that in a minute. Acts chapter 20, verse 25. Acts 20, verse 25. Flip the pages and you'll see what we're getting into here this morning. Then I'll give you the conclusion. The most of the meat is in the conclusion. Acts 20, verse 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. So he talks about preaching the kingdom of God. Also, Acts 28:31. 28:31, the same thing. Preaching the kingdom of God and touching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the risen Christ. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. So Paul's time was spent preaching the kingdom of God, and it was spent preaching. That's what he was doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll hear this one all the time in our preaching pulpits, preaching circles. Verse 17, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Okay, is that true? Is that what it needs? Is preaching today where the power of God is at? That's what it says right here. Look at verse 21. For after that is the wisdom of God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Is it preaching that saves people today? Is that the power of God? Is it preaching? I'll tell you what. I don't believe that. And I do believe that most preachers believe that. I had somebody one time say, Boy, I'm sure I've said it too. I know I've said it. I said, Boy, I wish somebody was here. They needed to hear that sermon. No, they didn't need to hear that sermon. They needed to hear what the Bible said. That happened to be in that sermon. So it's not the sermon people need to hear. I've had people tell me that when somebody left the church, well, now don't take it personal. You're not that good a preacher to make somebody mad. It's the Bible they don't like. It's God they're mad at. Now they're gone. Did I make them mad? Did God make them mad? Did the Bible? Did you make them mad? What's going on? Is it the preaching? Is it the preacher? When Jesus told the Sunday school class, when Jesus told the disciples, we read in Sunday school class, that listen, I'm sending you the Comforter, but you're in sorrow because of this. You got persecution coming, and that Spirit of God, my Spirit's going to come, and it's going to reprove the world of sin, and reprove is in their face. Well, then that means I should be the kind of preacher that gets in your face and just yell and scream and just. I should be like that pastor down in Texas who every once a year has everybody stand up one family at a time, if they can take it, and then he'll tell them what's wrong with that family and talks to the man. So now, LD, here's what you need to do for your family this next year. I've seen you, da-da-da-da, and he lets them have it. Probably a few compliments in there somewhere along the line to take some of the pain away. Then they sit down and goes on to the next family. This guy, I'm sure, believes that this is what God would have him to do. And he says, if the people don't like that, I don't want them in my church. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Okay, fine. Paul was given what to preach, and he needed to preach what God told him to preach. Simple as that. Have you not heard that phrase? I will just preach what God would have me preach. When I first moved here, I said, Lord, I will teach, I will preach what you teach and preach to me. What I learned this week, I will pass it on Sunday, based on what Paul says in Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. I'll pass it on. And it wasn't a couple weeks, and I thought, no, I can't do this one. Well, I told you I would. Oh, here I go. I'll do it the best I can. I've been trying to do it ever since. Look at verse 10. Now we get more specific here. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. What's that? Well, that's the things that God would have us learn in verse 9. The things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto me, unto us, by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Okay? We can accept that. That's what it says. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do we know these things? How do we know these things? Well, it says right there that the Spirit of God will give those to us. How do we get those things? Do we have those things? So are we saying here that the preaching is given to the preacher, and God tells this man what to preach, and then he preaches it, and then you hear all these things. This is how important preaching is. The Word of God is manifest through preaching. That is what the Bible says. Is that true? That's what it says. Look at Acts chapter 14. This is a long setup for a question. Then I'll show you the answer to that. I know you know what the answer is, but let's find out what it is in detail. Acts chapter 14, verse 15. And saying, sirs, why do ye these things? He got all excited because Paul and everything did what he did. We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. These guys are worshiping Paul like he's a god. He said, listen, I am just like you guys, but God is telling me that we should turn from these vanities unto the living God. That's what he wants. And we've got preachers and pastors that will stand up here and they will think that they've done all that they need to do and God is using them directly to His people. They're all over the country. Have I been there? I don't know if I've ever been there. If I was, it was accidental because I never can imagine being that important of a guy that God would use me like that. Has God used you? Sure God will use you. Sure God will use me. But there was something else that was in our lives that He was using. Look at Galatians. Same thing. Acts 26. There it is again. Turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Remember, Paul's whole mission is to get people to change their lives. That's Paul. Not only change their souls, but once your soul is changed, now let's change our lives to please God. That's what Paul is all about. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. A great thing to say about the preaching, whatever it is that Paul preached, that's still supposed to be preached. And if it isn't what Paul preached, it's wrong. what that says. And that's true. That is true. Look at verse 11. Galatians chapter 1. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Man didn't tell me to do this. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, nor neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ told him. Face to face. We know the places. That's one of them. Okay, so then when a man sits down in the office to write up his sermon, does he just set all of his books aside and take a look, Lord, give me some? Now, I've had sermons that I've written on the way to Walla Walla in the car, written on the back of envelopes or something. Is that something that just came to me from God? Well, it came to me, and the Spirit of God is there, but I'll tell you what came to me. Scriptures. I didn't just put together this little sermon thing. And it wasn't that God just took my hand while I was driving and said, take that hand over here and find that envelope down back behind the right seat and pull that thing out, and I got to get this written down somewhere. I know I'm going to forget it, and I've got a complete outline before I get to Walla Walla. Is that some inspired thing? No, it's because I read my Bible enough and I'm thinking about things, and those things happen. I've had a couple people recently, especially that kid back in New Jersey. How do you write a sermon? I said, don't worry about it. Study your Bible. Read your Bible. Look around you. Put the Bible, all this stuff together. You'll start having things you want to say. Is it me personally? I don't believe it is. I still think God guided it. But through here. And I'll show you why I say that in a minute. Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. It's hard to explain. It really is hard to talk about. It's hard to explain. Of course there's guidance in there by the Spirit of God. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, which is pretty low down, the less of the least, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay, so then God is going to tell Paul what the unsearchable riches of Christ are, and then he's going to preach that to people. And it's because of grace that he uses Paul. Well, what have I got? Grace. What have you got when you witness to somebody? Grace. You've got no right to say anything. It's because of God's grace we have that opportunity to talk to people. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. For he that come, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul's concern was somebody would hear from another Jesus. And how does he get it? It says there cometh, preacheth another Jesus. Doesn't say another leader, it says another Jesus. So it has to mean some form or another words about a Jesus. If it's not the risen Jesus they're teaching, then they're teaching something wrong. And it's about preaching. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. Talks about if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain. And he's not asking a question. He says, then is our preaching vain? So in other words, if you're not preaching the risen Jesus, your preaching is vain. It's not going to do any good. Look at chapter 10, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. 2 Corinthians, that verse was not what I wanted at all. Boy, that's scary when you look at that, and that verse just doesn't say what you know it's supposed to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. And there's a good sermon in there for preachers to read, but we'll leave it at that. Preaching the gospel of Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is how important preaching was to Paul. Nobody was going to hear what they needed to hear unless Paul would preach it. And Paul wouldn't know what to preach until Jesus Christ himself, by revelation, would tell him what to preach. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, because of the Alexander the coppersmith hassled him and his friends all left him. He's by himself in this argument. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So how are the Gentiles going to hear about this risen Christ? It had to be through Paul, whether he had help or not. Because all men forsook him in verse 16. And he didn't even get bitter about that. I said, okay, the Lord was with me, and by me, God will use me, the preacher, to preach to all the Gentiles that they'll hear. And that's what he says. Is that true today? Is that true? 2 Timothy chapter 4, look up at verse 2. Here's his basic command. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And there's that reprove again. Rebuke is even in there. Exhort, that's the preaching. That's explain it, expound on it. Yet he says, with all longsuffering, so don't quit, don't give up, and doctrine. Show them the book. Okay, so there's what the preaching's supposed to be. Look at Galatians 4, verse 13. This is quite a verse. I ran across it last night. I must have missed it in all my other years of reading. It happens a lot, apparently. Galatians chapter 4. This kind of tells us more about Paul as a person and the people that listened to Paul. Verse 13. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. That's hard. He preached the gospel, and yet there's a flesh problem there. Verse 14, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, remember all that? What, Romans 7? He says, ye despise not, nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Well, of course they would have, because they didn't have a Bible, and Paul was going to preach to these people, and Paul, remember Paul, he couldn't do all the things right, and he couldn't do all the things wrong that he was supposed to do right. Remember all that stuff, the chocolate verse there? Paul's got these issues. I'm sure people must have seen that. And yet, Paul comes along, and in the infirmity of the flesh, he preaches what he needs to preach to these people. And the Spirit of God is there, of course, because that's what God says will take place. And these people look at Paul, and they see this temptation. They see this problem that he's having. And it says right there, you didn't despise him. You didn't reject him. You received him as an angel of God, in fact, he says. Even as Christ Jesus. It was like the Lord showed up. And I'll tell you, there's pastors all over this country that's how they think about themselves. You folks wouldn't get this if it wasn't for me. And I got a few problems in my life, but I'll tell you what, you better listen to me. That kind of a thing. They're all over the place. He says, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? I mean, we're having a problem here, see. And he says, for I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Now, which one of you in here is going to give me your eyes? Because I truly need them. You are still here, right? Move. Thank you. It's terrible. All I see is blue. Blue and some brown right along there, little specks of blue and white and green and pink and a lot of white right there above this round flesh. There's a bunch of white right there, Marilyn. That really shows up like this. And I just see flesh there. I think that's Dave, you know. Red back there. There's a big chunk of red right here. I mean, it's just, boom, red right there. Who's going to give me your eyes this morning? Oh, Bob, you want to give me your eyes? I quit bugging you about being my sugar plum. You can't just move your head. I don't know what I cannot read your lips. I cannot see your lips, okay? No, there we go. So this is what he, this is how he was received. Give me your eyes. He would have. And yet look what happened to him in verse 16. He became their enemy. Isn't that amazing? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Preaching will do this. Preaching will do this. It did it. There's your example of preaching. And there's pastors all over this country who are not preaching anymore because they became somebody's enemy. Remember that 75-year-old guy I told you about? Had to move, live in an old dilapidated house back in his hometown, and they're just struggling away? And my point here this morning is everything's on preaching. And our churches, more and more and more preaching in the Bible crowd, more and more preaching, more and more preaching. People are starting to look to the preacher more and more and more. They did to Paul, and if we're going to follow Paul, then we better follow that preaching like they did with Paul. And then lastly, Titus. And we know that verse, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So that's true. Paul was told by God to preach. And God's word was manifested through Paul, through preaching, of what Paul was preaching. Okay. That's all. Amen. It's there. That's what it says. That's good stuff. However, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm starting to realize through conversations and observations and things that, yes, we know that the Bible doesn't exist out in the world. King James Bible doesn't exist out there anywhere. They just don't care. The modern Bibles, people don't even care about their Bible as such. We know that there are modern Christians who love their preaching of their pastor. They love his preaching. They probably don't even know what he said, but they love his preaching. Been there, done that. I would want to go watch a certain pastor because he draws while he preaches. Let's go watch da 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 da. And he's done the same drawings for I don't know how many years. I can't imagine doing that same sermon for a number of years, same ones. And I'm starting to recognize the fact that in our Bible believing churches, preaching has overtaken the Bible. I'm starting to recognize that when I look at these Paul-following churches, the Grace churches and the Mid-Acts churches and things like that, they don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, totally. The pastor has to know the Greek or have the originals, and he will go back and they have to trust him what he preaches. Get the King James Bible, but he knows where the roots come from and he can kind of fix that thing a little bit. So what are they looking to? Preaching. To reject this Bible as the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 13:10, that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. They still will not put away preaching and put this Bible over that preaching. And I'm not saying stop preaching. I'm not saying to quit listening to preaching. If it's a lie, if it's not true, if it's not rightly divided, then yeah, don't listen. Just get away from it. But if that preaching is taking you away from your Bible, may not be the preacher's fault. And before anybody gets any madder than some already are, how's your Bible reading? Because if you're not reading your Bible other than some wee little devotion every morning, and you're just kind of, that's all you're coming up with, believe it or not, your spirituality is based on my preaching. Unless you listen to a bunch of other guys during the week. And how do you know what they're preaching and teaching? I mean, you could be deceived pretty easily. Well, you know we're King James, Bible-believing, Paul-following teaching here, so you can trust what I preach. No, you can't. No, you can't. That's why some people get mad. They're listening to the preaching only. That's all they're doing. If they're doing that. I had somebody tell me a couple months ago that they would sit in the table back there and they were sitting there watching me and thinking of all the things I've done wrong, not even listening to the sermon. Or they were sitting there listening to the sermon sometimes and correcting the sermon. And they would hear me make a verse mistake, which I tend to make every once in a while. Then it was mocked, and I could see his expression and the whole thing. That's not right. You're not looking to what you're supposed to be looking at. You're trusting in the preaching to get you to heaven. Or you're trusting in the preaching to get you through your day. Do you ever listen to a tape, even one of my sermons, on the website out there? Does anybody listen to their stuff and not have their Bible open? You're working. You're building a barn. You're washing the car. You're doing something while you're listening. I got one of those iPods or ePods, and I've got MP3 players. I listen to it while you're preaching. Well, you know what you're doing? You're following preaching. You need to open up that book and see if that's really what that says. I trust you. Don't trust me. Look at the Bible. See what it says. You might recognize the fact that you are following preaching, not that which is perfect has come. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:10, here's the definition of prophecy. Doesn't it say that in verse 8? Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They're going to stop. It's not going to be there. What does that mean? That's preaching. Preaching, public interpretation of Scripture, exhortation or instruction is what prophecy is. It can also be what's coming up tomorrow or in 20 years. But in the biblical sense, in these verses, it's used as the fact that that's preaching. Well, you mean preaching is going to stop? No, preaching is not going to stop. But if you keep reading on the whole verse, tongues and knowledge from what? From God. Just directly from God. Which we've talked about that. That prophecy, that preaching is going to come from this thing, the King James Bible. Because if that isn't 1 Corinthians 13:10 is not this, then you're going to get your teachings from God to your heart or through preaching. And I know for a fact there are people that put preaching over their Bible because they do not read their Bible like they ought to. They'll listen to preaching, they'll listen to preaching, they'll listen to teaching, they'll listen to somebody teach them stuff, and they will not crack open their pages however busy they are. Whether they be a mother or a father or whatever, a teenager or whatever. If you don't crack open this book, you're following preaching, and I'll tell you what, you won't make it much longer. I said the other day that truth is going to shut this place down over time. Now, it's going to be you. No, it's not going to be me. It's going to be the fact that what this Bible says, you're not going to endure it because you will choose not to endure it. That's what the Bible says. Are we any different to what's going on in these days of apostasy? Some of you folks are die hard enough that you will probably die to get your departure out of here. But there are some folks that are going to get tired of this stuff, and they're going to think all the things I've heard them say, and they're ignoring what that Bible says. If the preacher becomes your final authority, I'll guarantee you will shut him down someday and you will quit. Been there, done that. That's what we'll do. We will. Probably already been done this morning. I can sense that there's some not listening now. Really? Yeah, you can see that sort of a thing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it's gotten to that point. Let me show you what we've done to our Bible. Remember we said back in Acts, we talked about where Paul was, and in Galatians. I'll get to that point in a minute. Skip that. Go to 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's look at this King James Bible now and compare it to the importance of preaching. In Paul's day, this is what I call rightly dividing Paul, by the way. We're going beyond Paul right now. We're going to go beyond Paul, and we're going to look at Paul's illustrations of how important preaching was, and we're going to apply that to the King James Bible. Because, see, you've got everything that was done in history that God wants us to know in this Bible. It's been given all. It's all to you. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, is that the King James Bible? If you believe that's the King James Bible, then you're off to a good start. We won't go into the details of their inspiration and when that thing was translated, but it was. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Not the preaching, but the Bible. And the preacher should take that Bible and do with that Bible what that Bible's supposed to do, and that's to be there for doctrine, it's to be reproof in your face, it's supposed to be there for correction, and it's supposed to tell you what's right. Well, preacher, you don't do that. Well, when's the last time you read your Bible and looked for it? I'm not grumpy. There's too much blue in here. I'm not being grumpy. I'm just telling you, we have put preaching over our Bible. And this is why some of you are getting mad. You're tired of what you heard about me. You're tired of what you know about me. You're tired of what you've seen me. You're tired of hearing me say what I've said. You're tired of my actions. Well, get over me. This is why you better be here this morning. And if this is why you're here this morning, this place will last and the bills will be paid. If this isn't your final authority looking to preaching, we got a problem. And it's going to manifest itself in the next couple of months. Bills won't be paid. You'll quit listening more and more. You'll listen to somebody else. You'll get mad about what I'm saying. You'll get mad about what I do in somebody else's home or somebody downtown at the store at Oddfellows. Something's going to tweak you because you let preaching become more important than your Bible. You've let me, believe it or not, become your final authority, and you don't like it. I don't blame you. I don't like me either. I really don't like me. And I don't listen to me. I've never had so much fun as writing a sermon because it's not me writing it. Does God guide your hand? No, God doesn't guide my hand. I'm in this thing. Yeah. That verse in Galatians 4:14 last night was just like, wow, there it is. And Paul's going through the same thing. Here he's Mr. Wonderful. Not that I was ever Mr. Wonderful. But here's Mr. Wonderful to these guys who rated him to Jesus Christ, and he's become their enemy. Well, marvelous book. Everything's in it. Old Testament, Gospels, Great Commission, Paul's marvelous doctrine about the risen Christ. We understand the tribulation books now, which we'll get into if we have time here this morning. Just marvelous stuff. Oh, wow. Have you quit reading it? Maybe the first time you got it, well, that was good. Well, that was a good chapter. Well, that was a good chapter. That was a good chapter. And I don't like that chapter. What? Titus, what? Why don't we read Titus? Okay, I'll read Titus chapter 2. Okay, Titus chapter 2. Sorry. You suddenly don't like your Bible. You don't read it as much. This Bible tells us how to be corrected. How to be told what to do as well as what not to do. And even it even gets in your face. You read that thing. Boy, man, he slapped me with that thing. So you don't read your Bible like you used to. But you come for the preaching. You're putting preaching over your Bible. And at one time, preaching was that important. But now it's not that important. The Bible's what's important. Let me show you some comparisons here. It's been a long time since we talked about Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Let's look at that. That was one of my first verses umpteen years ago. Psalm 12, verse 6. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's the only Bible that says that. Now, is this King James Bible the preserved word? Or is it not? Who's on there, Sam? Okay, so if that Bible is the preserved words of if that's his preserved word, the words of the Lord, if that's it, then what? But what if it isn't? If you don't believe that Bible is the preserved words of God, then where is it? Then where is it? Because he promised to preserve it. Now, what about the folks like us who say, English only. The rest of the world's got to have English. Because you hear somebody say, well, I believe that King James Bible is the Word of God in English. But you can have it somewhere else as well. That's a big deal. That's a big deal today. Had somebody write to me that the other day, and I got to thinking. Let me ask you a question there, Craig, because of your question you asked me about what about English, what all the languages and stuff. And you don't have the originals. No, you don't have the original. Okay, then how do you know what Greek you're getting this thing translated from? These different Bibles that are out there. And they talk about other languages in this world. Well, are all every other language out there got a Bible? Every dialect, everything? We'd have to have about four Bibles just in Brooklyn. And they got them. They're coming up with Bibles that'll match everybody's little slang. Is that God working that stuff? What about the Tower of Babel? You know, all the languages we have in this world is not God's fault. He started off with one language. Why can't he finish with one? Okay? Well, what about all these people, all these foreign languages, all these foreign countries? Here's my favorite question. When it was Greek only, were you asking that question? People had to know Greek. How come all of a sudden, when the English is one language, becomes an issue? See what I'm saying? It wasn't a big thing to the Greeks back in those days of the Greek language at one time. What about the German Bible? What about the old Syriac scriptures? And then here's this question. Where was the Bible before the 1611 King James Bible? And we've talked about that. There was no complete Bible up until 1611. What about some of the spelling corrections and some of the revisions? They're not revisions, they're additions. Still a 1611 Bible. So, it has to be English for the whole world. You mean they've got to come and learn English? They had to learn Greek. And there's over 500 different Greeks. Which one are they going to learn? I don't know. Well, see, that's how dumb this thing is. It's just people trying to find a reason not to believe this Bible to be the Word of God, and they'll need to put their trust and faith in their preacher who will do the preaching because he knows the Greek. He doesn't know the Greek. He knows what Westcott and Hort said about the Greek to the English. Or these Nestle's guys that apparently quit doing the Nestle's Greek and came up with chocolate or something. You should have stuck with that. So is this or is this not the preserved words of the Lord? Every one of them. Of course it is. Let me show you some verses. We're going to take Paul's verse. We've got a couple minutes here. Yep, got to hit my timer again. Remember we read a verse about where it says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel preaching peace by Jesus Christ? That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee. Sure, this is that word today. We published it. We made it available throughout the world best that we can. It's been around. I mean, this Bible's got everything in it. It's got all the Old Testament preaching. It's got all the gospel preaching. It's got all the Great Commission preaching. It's got all that Paul preached. It's got all what's going to be preached in the tribulation. Right there. Here was in Acts 15, he said, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to teach and preach the word of the Lord, not just in our life, but to show other people as well. Okay, that makes sense. Acts chapter 20, verse 9, remember the one about Eutychus falling out of the thing asleep and he died? Long sermon. Don't you ever fall asleep reading your Bible? And if you don't stay awake long enough to read your Bible all week, you're going to be like a dead Christian. You're not going to respond to what you're reading. And I know we all fall asleep while we're reading. I can't sleep. Get out my Bible. Okay, that's okay. I mean, you know, at least you're reading it. I know. I realize that. But it's kind of like I can't sleep. Get out one of Pastor's sermons. Okay, I understand that. That makes sense to me. I can go along with that. But a long preach. Have you ever sat down and read your Bible and actually read a long time? I don't think some of you have. Have I been critical and judgmental? No, I'm not. I'm just knowing how busy we are today. I mean, a long time. You got children. How are you going to read your Bible? I would find time. You can't just follow preaching. You just can't. But that Bible, which you've got in your hand, you own your very own one with your scripture notes and all that stuff. Have you ever sat down and read and studied that thing for a long time? How about Romans 16:25? He talks about, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that gospel's in there, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that's in there. That's all in there. Matter of fact, we went over the mysteries last week. We showed in the morning service the three mysteries that Paul has explained. And then the other ones which are not explainable yet. And then there's one mystery that we're supposed to not be ignorant of. That's the blindness of Israel. It's all in here. If you got to wait for the preaching to get to that, you might not ever hear about it. All you preach about is Paul. No, that's not true. We've been almost 2 years in the Old Testament. Now we're doing the Gospels. You don't do much prophecy. Well, it's sealed until the end. I guess I can give you my 2 cents. I used to believe in UFOs. I still kind of do. You think they're angels from Jupiter? I don't know. Probably not. But probably so. The guy knows this stuff better than I do. Is that what you want me to preach? Want me to preach about all this, the signs of the times? Well, if we're going to do that, we can make this a Seventh-day Adventist church. Do it on Saturday. You can have Sunday for fishing. That's what everybody else. They're trying to find something, get people to come in here. Paul, you would think hearing about the risen Christ would bring people in here. Wouldn't you think that? They want to hear what God is going to do to this world. And they don't want to be part of it. So how can I get away from it? How about if you get saved, then you won't have to be a part of it? The life's going to be so crummy. Well, okay. Become a Christian and vote for Obama. Become a Christian. Take a King James Bible and then join the Mormon church because they'll take better care of you than we will. They've got the money to help folks that need help. We don't have the money to do that. So you can be a Christian and be saved and then have today's life taken care of too, if you want to do that. Or you can just quit reading your Bible, get some tapes and go home and listen to some sermons on the internet that you can find what you like. You can find some Pentecostal guys, you can find some Lutheran guys, you can find some Seventh-day Adventist guys, you can find some Paul-following guys or nothing but grace. You can spend the rest of your life trying to figure out when the church began. Was it mid-Acts? Was it pre-Acts? Was it post-Acts? I mean, premillennial trib? Is there a rapture, such a thing? Is it a secret? Is it a mystery? I don't give whatever Bible you want. You can do anything you want today. But if you believe this Bible to be the pure words of God, and they're preserved, and they're inspired and preserved, and this is that thing which is perfect today, that is it. Don't let the preaching become more important than your Bible. Or you get mad and quit. Or you get mad and you won't listen. Been there, done that. I know what some of you are going through. I used to go sit in the back lobby of that church back for a long time. I took my notes, but I was not part of the family. Okay, let's keep going here. Paul preached at kingdom of God. Well, Paul, Romans chapter 14, it's a spiritual kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Maybe we're still trying to manipulate things ourselves because of the preaching. Did you quit what you quit because of the preacher or because of what the Bible says? Are you mad because of what the Bible says or what the preacher said? What's going on? Only by contention, by pride, right? Preaching can hurt your pride. Well, can't the Bible? No, the Bible really can't because, you see, I can read my Bible by myself and nobody else knows I'm getting slapped around. That's okay. That's fine. But when you preach in church and you say some of the things you say, I know everybody knows you're talking about me. That's not true. You know the reason I'll give them to you. I should have brought them up here this morning. You know why I got all those people to write to me about all the kids they had out in the Webb family? Because I want you folks to know that your kids are not the only kids in my ministry. I've got about 30, 40, 50 kids out there, anywhere from the adult kids to the teens, to the preteens, I call them, to the young ones. Not that the babies are doing anything, but you know they're being influenced by their parents, by their grandparents. We've got over 50, 60 kids out there, 30, I'll add them up later, 30, 40, who knows what the number is. That's why they need preaching. Yeah, they do. They need to have their parents preach so their parents read to them Bible and teach them their Bible. If these kids are going to grow up with nothing but preaching, I'll tell you what, they're going to quit. People don't take preaching today. Because some guy, who is he, think he is, gets up here and says what he thinks the Bible means and makes me mad and embarrasses me in front of all the other people. That's not the way it's... That's right, you'll quit after a while. But if that preacher gets up there and preaches the Bible, then that Bible is supposed to be our final authority, not the preacher. And the preacher is just a tool for God to use to get some things out because we are honest about it. We are all too busy to read what we ought to be reading. And we pay you to read and study anyway, not us. And you come out, you tell us what you want us to know. Boy, don't do that. You know. So, my general point of the whole day and even tonight is the fact that we have let preaching become more important than our Bible. We just have. I'm trying not to make anybody mad. I'm just telling you that Bible's more. That preaching is more important, if it's important to you, than our Bible. Give me 5 verses or 2 verses or why are you doing what you're doing? Why did you change and become this way? Why did you do this? Why are you now doing this in your life? Why are you not going to do this in your life? Why do you get bothered when somebody knows you? What? Show me in the Bible why you are that way. Can you tell somebody scripturally why you believe what you believe. Why are you here this morning? To hear preaching? Or to learn more about your Bible? Or to see if what somebody else said to you was right? Why are you here today? I could have quit 13 years ago, like some people did. 10 years ago, like some people did. 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 3 years ago, a year ago, a month ago. Why are you still here? Is it for the preaching? Or is it for this book? And if it's for the book, you better be reading that book more than you're getting preaching. Because you're not going to make it. Not in this world. Not the way things are headed. You're not going to sacrifice your last nickel and dime and penny to keep this place going if it's just for me and my preaching. I'll guarantee you that. But you'll put every nickel and dime you can. You'll eventually sacrifice money to keep this Bible preached, if that's what you're after. But if you're just after me, you're not going to be here much longer. Because I know the challenges that are ahead. I know some of them anyway. And they're hard. And I know what that Bible's doing for me. And I know what that Bible's doing for you. We're not playing church anymore. This Bible is what has to be magnified. And this is what you kids need to get out of here. When you grow up and get out of here, this is what you take with you, not this church, not me, my preaching. Don't you dare pack up a bunch of CDs and cassettes when you get married and move out. You take your Bible with you. I hope you know it by then. That's what this church is about. Now, that's that blue. We got to change this carpet, Jimmy. This is. Now that I know about it, it's affected me now. And you got a blue sweater on. That doesn't even help any, Marilyn. 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You know what God did here? He revealed what He wanted to these writers so they could put this into a Bible. And He says there, for the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know what you have in this Bible? You've got the deep things of God in this Bible. We have only struck the surface, if even that. Now, let me rephrase that. We've done all right. We've seen some pretty exciting things in this Bible. We really have. And you can't begin to tell anybody else, can you? You really can't. You really can't even tell your own kids. Some of those things are going to have to just see for themselves as they watch how we behave as Christians. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 and 13 talks about the things that are freely given. You know what's in here? What God has given freely for us to know is right here in this Bible. Not through me as a preacher. This Bible. If I ever come up here, somebody one time said, how come in your preaching you never open your Bible? Anybody remember that question a couple years ago? They're not here anymore. And typical of us, we come to conclusions way too quickly because I've got all the verses written on the paper in bigger print. Okay, so if I need to be seen opening my Bible, okay, turn to Galatians chapter 3. Sometimes I'll just go, and right over here is the big print right here. I'm sorry, I don't have good eyes. I have to have bigger prints. Haven't you ever seen me sometime have notes glued, taped together? You've seen those notes I've got up here? Sometimes I've done that. Penciled writings, I can't read them. I got this great big sheet. I can read those things from over here. I like that. Can you imagine if I had a Bible like that? Here comes a preacher. Boy, is he spiritual. Look at his Bible. No, he's blind. He can't see what he's talking about. That's all that would be. But the stuff is there. He says in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. That's what that Bible does. The Holy Ghost will teach us through this Bible. Then I remember a long time ago a preacher, maybe is John McCord still there, McCords? A long time ago somebody would preach, and he was always saying the phrase, compare scriptural with scriptural. It was good. I thought that made total sense. Until years later, when I finally read my Bible for myself, see, I'm just as guilty. I'm not crabbing him. I'm just as guilty. And I read where the verse actually says spiritual things with spiritual. It doesn't say scriptural. It says spiritual. But now I know what he was meaning. We want to compare spiritual with spiritual. We do it with our Bible. Scripture with Scripture. What's really sad is he let everything go to pot, and he's the one that preached that. About comparing Scriptures. Anyway. Here's another one where we went to Acts 14 and says, "Sir, why do you these things? We are also men of like passions." Turns in these vanities into the living God. You know what this Bible will get us to do? If you trust that Bible to be the Word of God, you will turn from vanities unto the living God. You will do that someday. But I can just tell there's resistance when it comes from me. Or if an evangelist were to come in again. Or another pat or whatever. Or if one of you guys got up here and wanted to preach something that you're going to burn the people with. And I know that's happened, and I stopped it from happening. There were two more sermons that were going to be preached to you people by some who's in our family here. And I said, "No, you're not. You're not going to preach that. You have no right to preach that," knowing what I knew. Preaching is what burns you, not your Bible. So the preaching, I'll be showing you your Bible, which I'm doing to you this morning. I'm showing you your Bible this morning. Galatians 1:8, though or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know what that tells me? Any other Bibles are the devil. That's what you stick with right here. If we go to Paul was sent to preach the gospel, and he talks about the foolishness of preaching. You know what Bible reading is to this world? It's foolishness. See, somebody sees you reading your Bible. Oh. You're sitting at a bus stop, or you're at work on a break, or you're in a restaurant, and you whip out your Bible. That's foolish to this world. So, you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? The stuff that Paul says is so important about preaching today is in that Bible. And you have your own Bible to read. And I'll say it again. If all you're doing is listening to preaching, you're not following what you should follow, and that's the Bible. But you're preaching the Bible. I'm trying. But if you're not reading that Bible, you're going to get burnt sometime. You're not going to be with us. You're not going to be with that Bible. That's what I'm trying to say this morning to you. Paul says in Corinthians that not with wisdom of words. This is not a book of wisdom of words. These are God's words. This is the power of God today. This is where salvation comes from. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. This has no enticing words of man's wisdom. I still believe I say too much myself. I should just read you the Bible? No, you can read your Bible. I'm giving you a preacher's rendition of something. 1 Corinthians 2:10 talks about the Spirit of God revealing to us the deep things. 1 Corinthians 2:12, we've been down what happened. Here we go. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. This Bible is not put together by man. It's put together by God. Paul says that I never received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is God-breathed. This is from Jesus Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 3:8, talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know what's in this Bible? The unsearchable riches of Christ. He says in 2 Corinthians, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit, you know what? One Bible. Paul is afraid that you'll listen to somebody else. You know what I'm afraid of? That you listen to somebody else. I can't control all the cassettes, the emails, the Bible studies, the CDs, the internet sermons. They're all over the internet. I'm still to this day amazed why anybody would find our site and listen to our sermons, me, or see one of those sermons and get excited about the book. You know what it is? It's not me. It's not this fancy website. It's not the preaching. It's not the visuality of this modern fantastic facility. If they realize that there's something wrong and the Word of God sparks something. Not the sermon, but the Word of God sparks something in those people. And they're still with us. Over 100 people still with us. Because they're getting the book. You know what they're not getting? Me. And you know what you're getting when you come to this church here? You get me. Which is why some people struggle with what they struggle with. I understand that. It's nice to see John McCord still with us because he also knows me. But the rest of the guys don't know me. And that's good. It helps them stay in their Bible even more. Not let me affect them. We look at 1 Corinthians 15:14 talks about the risen Christ, or is it vain? That Bible's not vain. Your Bible study doesn't have to be vain. There's no waste of time in that thing. He talks about the gospel of Christ in 2 Corinthians 10:14. That's the gospel of Christ. That's the risen Savior. He talks about 2 Timothy 4:17, preaching by him be fully known, the Gentiles might hear. There it is. Fully known. It's all there. Nothing in part. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. You know what we do with this thing? Read this thing, in season, out of season. I've heard somebody say the best time to read your Bible is when you don't want to read your Bible. That's out of season. It's not the time. I'm too busy. That's when you need to start reading your Bible. Well, in Galatians 4:13, remember that thing about Paul? Had infirmity of the flesh and he still preached anyway? And they thought he was the enemy? This Bible. You got to fight your flesh to read this Bible. You don't want to read in this Bible what you know you need to read. I don't need to read Titus because I know what it says. So I'll read something else. No, you need to actually read it. When I first got excited about a lot of this stuff years ago, I was listening to the Old Testament at night with Scorby reading it. And I felt like, I've said to this, I felt like I was in the bushes watching the whole deal with God narrating. It was really exciting for me. I would do one tape a night. And I would take little notes. I go, well, here's a sermon, here's a question, here's a comment, all this great stuff. But same thing with the Gospels. But when I got to Paul's teachings, I couldn't go more than one verse at a time, sometimes not even half a verse. I'd have to hit stop. I'd have to think about it. Think about it. Boy, that's good. Hit play. Stop. Boy, that was good. Take some notes. I'm writing a whole sermon here. Okay, I'm done. Okay, hit play. Bump. Bump. It was so good in detail. Marvelous stuff. But you got to fight your flesh to do that. When you turn on the TV, turn on your Bible instead. When you want to watch a movie, do a Bible study instead. Oh, Dad, please, this is so boring. Well, okay, let's not be boring with it. Let's get excited about this book. This is all we got. I can't teach like you can. I can't teach either, but you can. I can't preach. You don't have to be a preacher or a teacher. You don't have to have leadership skills. Just show what that thing says and teach it and get excited yourself. It'll rub off on somebody somewhere. Oh, yes, it will. It'll make them mad. But a few people might enjoy it. Listen, if all you want to do is make people happy, if all you want to do is have favor with all people, stick to preaching. Because eventually you can change the preaching, but you can't change the Bible. You can always find another church, find another preacher, but you can't find another Bible. And then lastly, Titus chapter 1. We'll turn to that one, then we'll be done here this morning. Titus chapter 1. You know the verse. This is called rightly dividing the Bible. This is called going beyond Paul. We follow Paul's teachings, no doubt. I'm not knocking that. We're still following Paul. We're not hyper-dispensationalists. We're still following Paul. We believe in grace, but we also believe that there's standards, there's teachings that God would have us to do. He wants your pastor, your preacher, to point them out and preach them to you. But He gave you a Bible. His Word is manifested to you today in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:10. Not through preaching. I will preach what that Bible says, but He's manifested His Word in that Bible. And you're just paying me to do something you're supposed to be able to do by yourself. And that's read and study and preach that Bible to yourself. And I'm okay with that because Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, there are pastors and teachers, and there is a local church, and there is a plan that should be followed. And if there isn't a plan that's to be followed, if there is not a local church to have, then make one. How do you make one? Start in your home. But none of you folks have any excuse because you've got one that's already there. For you to leave this place and go into your home would be wrong. If we shut this church down and you've got nothing to do but your home, that would be right. But for you to jump into the American home church movement, that would be wrong. Because they're teaching false doctrine. For you to pull off sermons off the internet is dangerous. Because you probably don't know your Bible good enough to know whether somebody's telling you the truth or not. To get caught up in prophecy is dangerous. Stick to a Bible that's right there in your possession, in your home, in this church, rightly divided. And don't put preaching above your book. Don't do that. That's why some folks aren't here. And that's why you won't be here either, if you put preaching over your book.